Good morning, everyone. I trust you're having a good weekend. We've just went through Veterans Week, and yesterday was Veterans Day, and we do want to acknowledge our veterans today. So if you served in the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, or the Coast Guard, would you please stand right where you are? Let's stand. So we're over here. Thank you. And Mike just walked in, and he was in the military too, so don't forget Mike. Yeah, all right. Go, Mike. Thank you for your service to our country and to all of us and giving us the freedoms that we have. So thank you for that opportunity to acknowledge you. Well, hopefully you've gotten in the game. Have you gotten in the game? We got the slip in your program today. You got an opportunity to give a pumpkin pie to your neighbor or coworker, or offer to rake your neighbor's yard with your family. I just noticed that my leaves are now coming down, so it's time to start raking. So talk to your neighbor. And feel free to send the office pictures of your pie attempts, and we'll broadcast those. So anyway, get in the game and touch hearts and lives in the community around you. Well, we're in Genesis chapter 11. Please turn there. Genesis chapter 11, as we continue our series going back to the beginning. And now we come to the Tower of Babel account. And we went through the Table of Nations last week, chapter 10. If you missed that, I encourage you to go online and you can take a listen to what we talked about last week. But really, these nine verses are the foundation for what took place and what we see in chapter 10. So here we go. As Moses gives these words to us in Genesis 11, starting in verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they purpose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. May the Lord add his blessing at the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. Well, as we look around our world, there just seems to be rebellion everywhere, doesn't there? Rebellion is all around us. And once again, we've seen, even in our own nation, what outright rebellion against God looks like. A deranged man destroying the lives of 26 individuals, wounding 20 others while they're worshiping their Savior in the sanctuary of their church. Such carnage, such destruction, such rebellion, such waste. But the sad truth is that all of us wrestle with our own personal rebellion against God in our own way, don't we? We all know what it means to rebel against God. And we rebel against God when we go our own direction, when we disobey His commandments, when we don't seek His guidance, when we seek our own self-interest, and when we merely seek our own security. Today we're going to see that the reality is that God will always see through our rebellion. He knows how rebellious we could be. And He can make things even more difficult for us in our rebellion. But I am so very thankful that as we follow Christ, that in the end, God will always have His way with us to the praise of the glory of His grace. We've gone back to the beginning in our study here in Genesis. We've been following the seed line. We were promised, based on Adam and Eve's rebellion against God, that a child would come from the woman, a redeemer, A seed would come who would destroy evil once and for all. And we've been following that seed line. And it went to Seth. And then it went to Noah. And now we see it's come to Shem. And next week, we're going to see how the seed line goes to Abram. So don't miss next week as we begin our study in patriarchal history. It's going to be incredible in chapter 12. But we've been following the seed line, and last week we saw the Table of Nations, which was really the result of what took place here in chapter 11, 1 through 9. And by way of reminder, here's a map that shows where everybody went. And this is what we looked at last week. We saw that Ham went south and west, Japheth, of course, went northward, and Shem stayed central and eastward. And we surmised from our study last week that in all likelihood, Noah and his descendants even went further east and perhaps all the way to China. And that was a part of our study. Genesis 10, we saw discuss the separation of man geographically and nationally and linguistically upon the face of the earth, while Genesis 11 now discusses the theological rebellion of mankind and the subsequent implications that brought about the geographical and linguistic separation of mankind by way of the Tower of Babel incident. So today we're going to look at the nature of man's rebellion against God and God's measured and consistent and, should I say, gracious response to man's rebellion. But today we have five spiritual truths for your consideration. But before we study, let's ask God's help. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we recognize this morning that we are absolutely and completely dependent on you to know anything here. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves to hear from you afresh and anew this morning. And perhaps we've read this story many times, this account. But, Lord, open our hearts and our minds to see the insights that we should draw from it for ourselves to grow, to become more like Christ in our study. So, Lord, have your way in our hearts and our minds this morning, we ask. Thank you, Lord, for attending to us by the power of your Spirit through your word. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name. Amen. If you have your sermon notes outlined, the first simple truth is this. We all know what it means to rebel against God, don't we? We all know what it means to rebel against God. But by way of reminder, we rebel against God when we go our own direction, right? We rebel against God when we go our own direction. Verse 1 and 2 says, "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They went their own direction, going eastward." Remember, God had told them to spread out after the flood. But now they're gathering together on this plain, moving eastward. And by the way, whenever you journey eastward in the Bible, that's an issue of rebellion. Adam and Eve were sent east of Eden. Cain went east. Lot went east and chose Sodom, as we're going to see. John Salehammer writes in his book, The Pentateuch as Narrative, which is an awesome read on our discussion with Genesis here. John writes this, "Throughout the Genesis narratives, when man moves east, he leaves the land of blessing and goes to a land where the greatest of his hopes are turned to ruin." And we've seen this kind of ruin over and over again by our own rebellion in Genesis 3:24, 4:16, and 13:11. Or we consider the prodigal son, where he goes to a far country. Why? With the purpose of rebelling. We always want to go do our own thing, our own direction. Jesus himself told us in Matthew 7, you know, there's two gates here, wide and narrow. We've talked about this recently. One leads to life by way of the narrow gate, and one leads to destruction by way of the narrow gate. I'm sorry. Would you pray? Because I'm wrestling today. I need prayer. I'm stumbling over words. And this must be an important message. When we're in rebellion, we're in the wide gate and we're seeking destruction. When we're in the narrow gate, that's where life leads. And that's where we need to be. So my question here initially is, what direction are you going? Where are you off to? Are you heading eastward in rebellion, or are you seeking the Lord in righteousness? Secondly, we rebel against God when we disobey his commandments. Look at verse 3. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Here we see that we rebel against God when we disobey his commandments. Clearly, they were told to be fruitful and fill the earth. We saw this as far back as Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. In Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. They knew what they're supposed to do, but now they're gathering on this plain together. They're huddling together in defiance of what God had instructed. And not only are they going against what God clearly said, in that they were told to be fruitful and fill the earth, they were not given instructions to build a city, were they? Nowhere does it say, hey, why don't you gather together and build a city? It doesn't say that. And now they're going with what God hadn't said, with the fabricated synthetic city with brick and tar and whatever was happening here. It was completely man-centered and not God-centered. The psalmist reminds us, but my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts. Man, there's a scary thought. When we're not listening anymore, when we're disobedient, God sometimes says, all right, fine, have it your way. Go your own way to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. God said to Isaiah, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Jesus himself says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And John adds to this in 1 John 2:3, and by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. And do we love him? I mean, if we really love him, we'd be about doing what he's asked us to do. Do we even know him? If we really know him, we'd be about doing what he asks us to do. But what's the problem? It's not for lack of information. We know what we're supposed to do. I mean, we've read the book. We've heard how many countless sermons, and yet we wrestle. And I'm convinced of this. It's not about just knowing. But have you fallen in love with the Redeemer, with the Savior, to such an extent that you want to be so about what he's called you to do and called you to be in obedience? We all know what it means to rebel against God. We rebel against God when we go our own direction, when we disobey his commandments. Thirdly here, we rebel against God when we don't seek his guidance. Notice what kind of tower it was. It's a tower with its top in the heavens. And when we read that, oftentimes we kind of think of this kind of the Jack and the Beanstalk idea that they're trying to, you know, get up in the clouds or something. I'd like to share with you that this is not about height. This is not about the height of this thing. That's how we think when we read it. They're trying to get into the information that was in the heavens. Remember, God told us at the very beginning when he created the stars that were for signs and for seasons, days and years. God had information that he had given to creation. And now they're choosing to seek after their own counsel by way of these stars. It seems that they were looking for information and guidance from the stars as they build this tower and they line it up astrologically. Seeking guidance from the stars instead of seeking guidance from God. They had designed to worship the stars through this tower instead of worshiping God himself who made the stars. They had turned to dead astrology instead of the living God. We'll see more of this in just a few minutes, but I just want to ask you, who are you seeking guidance from this morning? Where are you finding your guidance? Are you finding it from the newspapers, from the tabloids? Are you finding it from Dr. Phil and Oprah? They might have some good advice from time to time, but are they themselves seeking godly counsel for you? Probably not. They're seeking ratings, right? They're seeking to sell newspapers. They're not out for your best interest before a holy and righteous God. Where are you trying to find your counsel? Asking all your buddies at work to help you solve your marriage problems, and they don't know who God is at all? Probably a bad idea. We rebel against God when we don't seek His guidance. These people were seeking the guidance of the stars. And to this day, this goes on, right? In the newspaper, what's in it this morning? In the Sunday paper, what do you find in it? What's in there? The horoscopes. I gotta read my horoscope. Oh, Pisces. Okay, I'm going to look that up. And I'm going to let this govern my life somehow. And by the way, if you read all those descriptions of all those different signs, you're basically just describing the average person. I don't know if you ever noticed that or not. There's nothing special in there about anything. We all know this. But we rebel against God when we don't seek His guidance. Fourthly, we rebel against God when we seek our own self-interest. Notice what is said in our text in verse 4, and let us make a name for ourselves. It's all about us. We're the centerpiece of whatever this tower is about. We want people to know who we are based on this thing we're building, this thing we're doing. I'd like to remind you, if you are all about yourself, you lose. If you're the center of your story at all times, you lose. You see, the godly line was Shem, who was the great-great-great-grandfather of Peleg, who was in the godly line. Peleg's brother Joktan became the father of the ungodly line through Nimrod at Babel. And by the way, the word name in Hebrew literally is the word shame or Shem. Instead of seeking the godly line, Shem, and a godly name, they were seeking an ungodly name, an ungodly shame, a name for themselves. With the play on words here in the Hebrew text. But I ask you, whose interests are you looking out for? Are you looking out for the interests of God, for the interests of others, or are you seeking for yourself? You're wondering what's going wrong in your marriage? I bet you someone in the marriage has made it about themselves instead of making it about them or about Christ. We rebel against God when we seek our own self-interests. And lastly here, don't miss this. We rebel against God when we seek our own security. We rebel against God when we seek our own security. Notice what it says in our text in verse 4. Lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. That would be the worst thing. That we lose our security by our gathering together. It appears that they thought that they had safety in numbers as they amassed together in the plain of Shinar to build a city and a tower. In essence, they disobediently huddled together in the plain of Shinar to overcome their fears of dispersal. They did it to enhance their own sense of security. And I ask you, where are you seeking your security this morning? How are you seeking your security? Are you finding it through trusting God, or are you trying to create your own security through your own bank account, through your own 401k, through your own substance abuse? Are you one of those control freaks out there? Oh, you know who you are. What are you holding on to that you know you need to let go of? Give it up and find your security in Christ alone. And by the way, husbands and wives, guys, here's a little pointer. See, guys are longing for significance in life. Women are longing for security. And so, guys, if your wife is kind of freaking out, kind of going nuts or whatever, you've probably pulled on her security blanket there that she's standing on, and she's like, what is going on? And you need to rebuild into her security as best you can. Security is a huge deal for our gals. But we rebel against God when we seek our own security. We need to find our security in Christ alone. Secondly, this morning, not only does God know, I mean, we all know what rebellion looks like, but God will always see through our rebellion. He'll always see right through it. Look what it says in verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. The Lord came down to see it. We're reminded all over the place in the text of Scripture what God sees. He sees it all. There's not some place you can go where He's not seeing what you're about and what you're doing. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Wow. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you'll have wars, is the disclaimer and the warning. His eyes are everywhere. Job 34 says, for His eyes are on the ways of a man, and He sees all his steps. There's no gloom or deep darkness where evildoers may hide themselves. There's no place you can go where all of a sudden God can't see what you're about and what you're doing. This won't be up on the screen, but listen closely. Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Are you hearing that? I don't want God's face against me. I don't know about you, but I don't want that. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Praise God for that. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Solomon, the wise, says in Proverbs 5, "For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he's held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline. Because of his great folly, he is led astray. All of our ways are before the eyes of the Lord." And lastly, Hebrews 4:13, "And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." There's nowhere you can go where you can hide your stuff. You think, well, nobody will know about this. Oh, he does. He already knew about it before you ever went there. And how silly we are when we think we can hide it. What a futile exercise. God will always see through our rebellion. And thirdly, God knows how rebellious we could be. This is an incredible thought. He knows how rebellious we could be. Really? What do you mean? Verse 6, "And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them." Are you hearing that? That's an incredible thought. If we don't intervene here, these people are going to be able to do anything they want to do. That blows my mind. This is God Almighty saying this about what man is capable of in rebellion. One of my favorite artists, Christian artists, Far From Home, has a song, "One of These Days." And there's a line in the song that goes like this: "And I believe I will see what I would have been if you didn't save me one of these days." What could have you been apart from Christ? Whoa. Because they could communicate with one language, nothing that they purpose to do will now be impossible for them. Are you hearing that? Nothing. Wow. Well, what does that entail? What could that be? What could they be able to do? And by the way, what's happening right now in our culture that's overriding our global inability to communicate? What's happening right now? What's the one word we could all say? Internet. The internet. We're able to communicate globally in a way that we've never been able to communicate before. I can just use Google Translate, right? Type it in, translate it. I can send a message to somebody in China. I can send a message to anybody. When we lived in Budapest, man, Google Translate is my hero, right? And we're able to communicate on a level. You know, I just can't help but think that as time goes on here, God will have to intervene to deal with us. About what? What could we purpose to do? What's going on? You know, we do pretty disturbing things, and nobody's doing anything about it. I mean, just abortion in our culture. We're destroying millions of children. You know, I remember years ago, the first time I went to the Museum of Science and Industry. You ever been to that one stairwell? You know what I'm talking about? The one stairwell where they have all the babies in the glass? Those are real people. That disturbs me. Who were they? Where'd they come from? God knows who they are. What else could we do? It's a crazy thought. You probably haven't thought about this today. But there's this weird thing called cloning. Cloning's going on. You know, man's fascination with trying to live forever. Why? Because he knows he can't. And so do you realize that there are people on the planet right now who are trying to figure this out? By the way, there are medical people right now on the planet who are trying to figure out how to do brain transplants. Like, really? No, I'm serious. Why? Because we could transplant the brain into another body, perhaps a cloned one, because it's still you then, or maybe even a better you than, you know, you could ever live. The people are thinking this way. There's articles that came out of Scandinavia within the last year or two concerning this. There's a group of people longing for this to happen. And by the way, we've already cloned a bunch of other stuff already. Well, what kind of stuff have we cloned? Well, things like animals. 20 different animals have already been cloned, all the way from ferrets to horses to mice to monkeys. They're working on it, man, so we can find a way to keep living. God confused the language. Why? What was the basis? Did you see the text? And nothing that they purpose to do will now be impossible for them. That's an incredible statement from God Almighty. God knows how rebellious we could be. He sees through the rebellion. Fourthly here, God can make things even more difficult for us in our rebellion. Oh, man. You ever thought about that? You're already doing something against him. He can make it worse for you. Verse 7, come, let us go down, and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. It's only by God's grace that things aren't worse for all of us even right now. Proverbs 13:15, good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Man, when you're in rebellion against God, man, you're in the dark. And you know what? It could be even darker. My favorite book series, The Chronicles of Narnia, we've read them to all our kids. And in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there's one incredible scene where Edmund hides himself in the wardrobe. He goes in there the first time, and he closes the door, which we find from C.S. Lewis, he promotes himself to the label of fool, because it's a very foolish thing to close yourself up into the wardrobe. But the minute he's closed up in the darkness of the wardrobe, what happens? He doesn't have any more security, because he's in the dark, stumbling over what's ever in there, and he starts grabbing for anything, and that's who we are. When we're in the dark, in rebellion against God, we just start grabbing onto anything to try to find security. And we should have just chose to do what's right to begin with, finding our security in him. And God can make things even more difficult for us in our rebellion. Romans 6:21, listen to this. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? Think about that. That's an incredible question. By the way, what fruit were you getting in your rebellion? The answer is zero, nothing, zero, goose egg, nada. Nil, empty sat, there's nothing there. And we know this. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, Paul says. Wow. You know, life is hard enough as it is, let alone finding yourself in opposition to God Almighty. Turn from your rebellion now. Repent while you still have time. God can make things even more difficult for us in our rebellion. And lastly this morning, don't miss this. God will always have his way with us. In the end, he's going to win. It turns out that he's God. Look at what happens here in verse 8. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. See, God wins. They didn't build it. It's over. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because where the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. We still talk about the idea of babbling. Someone who's babbling is saying something we don't understand. That comes from this very text. Vavel, Babel. But I'm always so thankful as we follow Christ that in the end, God will always have his way with us to the praise of the glory of his grace. And by the way, there's two ways that God can have his way with you. There's two ways. It's not complicated. We can either agree with God, right, and follow him and trust him with our lives, asking him to help us to do what's right and to walk righteously before him. Or we can choose to do our own thing. And when we choose to do our own thing, God gets his huge hammer of grace and will cause you to come into compliance. My dad was an engineer at Caterpillar Tractor Company. Man, they'd build these huge, big, earth-moving, you know, pieces of equipment. I mean, some of them are as big as this room. They're this humongous piece of equipment. And in the factory, when they're putting the big tractors together, you know, some of these huge, ginormous parts they're putting together, they don't go together very well, right? They just, it doesn't quite fit. They try to work it. And so what do? What's the final resort to try to get these two big, huge pieces together? They go and get the big sledge and and they put it together. And they have their way with the metal. Similarly, God is going to have his way with you. Better to bring honor and glory to God through righteousness than to be honored upon in your rebellion. Right? He will have his way. He's God. And he has his way here with these people in this plane as they're gathering together, seeking a name for themselves, making this tower. God wins. It turns out he's God. So now we've said all this, and we go, well, what if God really came down and confused the languages of all the people who were developing a pagan worship system based on building a tower up into the heavens to unlock the secret of the star? Well, what if this actually happened? Well, we do think it happened. And by the way, we think there's incredible evidence for the reality that it happened. What would we expect to find if this happened in our world? If this event actually took place, what would be the evidence for it? Well, if there were people gathering together, building a pagan worship system to worship the stars, we would expect that when God confused the language and they spread out, they would take this pagan worship system all over the planet with them. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. What would we expect to find as we look out into the world? Let's take a look. All over the world, we see things like this. Massive civilizations centered on huge cities with advanced abilities and megalithic construction, which is exactly what we find. Star worship, solstice and equinox prominence. Keep cruising. Accurate star charts. And by the way, this is crazy. All over the globe, all the ancient cultures had divided the houses of the heavens up into 12 houses, and nobody knows why they're all the same. It's pretty crazy. Why? Because it was sourced in the same event. That's why. What else? Pyramids, statues, dolmens, pyramids or ziggurats, these towers, we'd find them everywhere. Female goddess worship and animal and human sacrifice would be all over the planet. And that's exactly what we find. The idea that man can become God, that's all over the planet as well. What else? Similar religious concepts all over the globe, which is exactly what we find. Let me show you some pictures of some ziggurats. A tower, the ziggurat of Ur in Iraq. This one's pretty huge. It's still there. Ziggurat of Choka Zanbil in Iran, one of the largest in the world. Notice the layering, tier, tier, tier. It's all lined up astrologically, folks. Angkor Thom in Cambodia. Notice the centerpiece, it's tiered up, tier, tier, and the centerpiece is their object of worship. It's all lined up astrologically. The El Tayan in Mexico, 365 steps to the top, well, one step for each day of the year. It's all lined up astrologically, all these things are. Next one, here's a Mayan temple ruin in Central America. Next, Temple of the Sun in Mexico. This is a monster, this one's huge. Again, all lined up astrologically off the stars. Here's a reconstruction of the Temple of Marduk in Babylon. This is the footprint based on the archaeology that's still there. And this is what they think would have been there in its place. But take a look at this next one. Reconstruction of the Temple of Copan in Honduras based on its footprint. Now, go back to the other one. Okay, here's Marduk. That's in Babylon, Middle East. Now, boom, Honduras in the Americas. This is crazy. Back again. Yeah, I don't know. They look similar to me. Where'd they get these ideas and how'd that happen? Well, because they all left with the same information when they were dispersed, right? Next slide. Oh, Stonehenge. Yeah, they're another worship site by the ancient Druids. And look, it's all lined up astrologically. On the top, you got the summer solstice. At the bottom, you got the winter solstice. It's all lined up off the stars. Next. This is incredible. Some of the abilities they had in construction. This particular stone has 33 angles and one stone yet cut perfectly by the Incas in Cusco, Peru. This is incredible. You can't slip a credit card between these blocks. It's that tight. It's seamless. I mean, it's really incredible. Next. Okay, this is my favorite. Now you go, yeah, that stuff's way over there. Yeah, it's over here too. Where? Ohio. You can go to Cincinnati, near Cincinnati, Ohio, just the east. There's a serpent burial mound. I actually have a book on this one. I couldn't believe it. It says all the information about it. Look at the next slide on this. Notice how it's all lined up astrologically. The middle hump of the snake, it's at equinox. You got two humps, summer solstice and winter solstice. Notice it's a snake and it's swallowing an egg. And the whole thing points to the North Star, Polaris. Now, by the way, you missed it. You could have gone to a celebration of the summer solstice where to this day people show up on equinox and solstice and, you know, wait for the sun to come up and, you know, Mother Earth and all this. This is still happening. We thought, well, that's way back. No, it's still happening, folks. Next slide. This one's just north of us. You're kidding me. There's a two-tiered ziggurat up in Lake Mills, Wisconsin. This is like 5 miles away from my office when I was a State Farm guy. You can go there and walk around the two tiers. It's all lined up astrologically. You're kidding me. No, I'm not. It's all over the place. It's as if, like, at one point, God came down and confused all the languages, and they took this religion everywhere. Yeah, that's what happened. And there it is. Incredible. This is what's happened. This is what we're dealing with. Now, here's my question for you as we wrap this up. Have you, or are you even right now in the process of raising up your own tower against God in your heart? Because that's really the issue, isn't it? I'm going to guess most of you don't have a tower in your backyard. But what are you building in your own heart? What structure are you building over and against God himself that's in outright rebellion against him? That needs to be torn down and dismantled brick by brick and chucked to the side. We all know what it means to rebel against God, don't we? We rebel against God when we go our own direction, when we disobey his commandments, when we don't seek his guidance, when we seek our own self-interest, and when we merely seek our own security. The reality is that God will always see through our rebellion. He's seeing through your rebellion right now. He sees through your tower that you're building right now. And he knows how rebellious we could be. And he can make things even more difficult for us in our rebellion. But I am so very thankful, as we all should be. We should all be so very thankful that as we follow Christ, that in the end, God will always, always, always have his way with us to the praise of the glory of his grace, which we desperately need. We all need Christ. We need a Savior to deliver us from our own towers that we're making. Would you please stand with me so we can pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word to us today. And Lord, as we finalize our thoughts this morning, help us to examine our own hearts before you to see if there's any wicked way in us, any towers that we're building that need to be torn down, any strongholds against you. Oh God, help us. Lord, if there's couples who are married today who are in conflict, I pray even right now that they would tear down their self-interests, the tower of independence, the tower of self-absorption. They would set that aside and put on Christ. Maybe there's someone conflict relationally with someone at work or a close relative. Oh God, help us to tear down towers. Towers of rebellion that we have in our lives. Maybe there's a tower, a bad habit has to do with excess of some sort, whether it's food or drink, substance abuse. Lord, you know what it all is that needs to be torn down and set aside, dismantled. Lord, just defiance. We don't want to follow you. We don't want to do what you want us to do. Oh God, help us even right now to submit ourselves fully and faithfully to you, trusting you in all things for all that you are to us. God, have your way in our hearts this morning by your grace. Lord, we recognize that you could have just destroyed everything all over again, but no, you've got a remnant, a people that you're calling to yourself. And Lord, we're the seed line of that now through faith in Christ, as the seed has now come to us through faith. Help us, Lord, to walk in your ways, to recognize the rebellion in our hearts, call it what it is, and to turn from it, knowing that you see it all, you know it all, you know how horrible we could have been. So Lord, have your way in our hearts, we ask this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence in our hearts and lives that we can have through faith in you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these dear people. Lord, bless us as we go, that we might be a light in a dark world, to bring the light of Christ. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank